احنا مشغولين دايما بالكرازة، وطبعا الكرازة في مصر مشكلة، لكن احنا اتفقنا ان الكرازة في مصر بتمشي بالقدوة، بتمشي بالمحبة مش بالكلام، بتمشي بخدمة الناس وخدمة المجتمع، بس الكرازة كمان بتمشي بالتميز. لما الواحد يبقى متميز الناس بتبص عليه، ولما بيبصوا عليه بيبقى له رسالة أكبر. معانا ضيفة كده يعني بنتنا دكتورة شهيرة، وهي عملت حاجة جديدة في رأيي هتصب في الكرازة بشكل أو بآخر، هتحكي لكم عنها في ربع ساعة.
شكرك يا بونا لدعوتي، يعني أول مرة نتكلم على حاجة عملتها. أنا في البروموشن بتاعي بعمل بروموشن للستوك إكشينج، أنا بشتغل أدفايزر للشيرمان بتاع الستوك إكشينج، فأول ما بعمل بروموشن كل التفكير بتاعي بيبقى على الستوك إكشينج مش على نفسي، فمعلش مرة دي على حاجة بس أعتقد أنها هتبقى مفيدة. وأستأذنكم أنا أسهل يكلم بالإنجليزي عن العربي لو ما كانش في مانع. ده الغلاف بتاع الكتاب اسمه Road Map to Success Inspiring Journeys of 10 Iconic Coptic Leaders. السينوبسيس دي ملخص صغير على الكتاب. البرزنتيشن هتكفر التوبكس دي بريف بس عليا انا، ايه الباك جراوند والاكسبيرينس بتاعتي والريزنز فور رايتنج بوك، ليه انا فكرت اكتب كتاب، وواي بوك ذات فوكسز اونلي اون كوبتك ليدرز، ليه ما خدتش مثلا مسلم ليدرز انترناشونال ليدرز، والتشويس بتاع ال 10 ليدرز جه ازاي، الانترفيو بروسيس، الاوفر فيو، بريف اوفر فيو اوف ذوز 10 ليدرز. And then, from my point of view, a roadmap to a successful and fulfilling life made up of 10 steps that everybody, if he does it, I believe will enjoy a successful and fulfilling life. Some concluding. The background بتاعي business administration of finance. It's not leadership. BA والMBA business والmasters والPhD in finance. كتبت research papers بس كل الفوكس بتاعي على capital markets. أو على finance in general. I started focusing على subject of leadership and success 2013 and I have no experience whatsoever as a professional author to write a book, and I wrote a book at a very difficult period in my life after I lost my father. Why writing a book? One of the reasons that made me write a book is I took a course about leadership in Canada, Toronto, and this course was success system. في الأول أنا خدت success system online وبعدين خدت lead without a title. I would recommend if you are concerned about leadership to search about robinsharma.com and he has a lot of information about leadership which I think fits Christian leadership as well. It's not just earthly leadership. And then I took a course in gender diversity in Germany. The two courses were eye-openers for me. The first on leadership and success, the second on gender equality, which is not available in Egypt. So I said, whenever I do any task or any endeavor in the future, I must include women to be 50% in anything that I do. And then the course pushed me to make and read and focus on leadership. And I read over a 2 years period around 50 books in leadership and success. And this also was a personal tribute and thank you for my father. I had a mission when I was writing this book that I want to thank my father in this book. Okay. Second thing, second slide, please. Why Coptic leaders? I could have written about other leaders. First, success and leadership in Egypt are ignored from my point of view. I mean, they have been neglected for over 60 years and across all organizations. I'm not talking only presidential, ministerial, governmental. So the reason, one of the reasons for the two revolutions which we had was a lack of leadership. Second thing is most of the news, this is for leadership in general. If you focus on the news on Coptic, Egyptians or Christians in Egypt, mostly is ordeals and sufferings. Rarely would you find positive news. There are exceptions, of course, like Professor Magdi Yaqub or Mr. Naguib Sawiris. These are the exceptions. But the rest of the news, whenever you Google, the first thing you find would be a negative news. So I wanted to highlight the lives of Copts, but in a different way, and I will tell you how, and draw attention to their successes, achievements, and contributions to Egypt, as well as the world. So that was my mission. Despite Copts sometimes are subjected to ordeals, still the majority remained in Egypt and they loved their country. And if you look at the numerous books written about Copts in general, they focus about saints or 19th or 20th century leaders of Copts. Rarely you would find books focusing on contemporary living Coptic leaders, and the articles about them, if there are some articles about them, it's too generic or not in depth. So my focus in this book is to conduct in-depth interviews with 10 leaders in order first to record their stories, because a lot of good people or famous people or exceptional people or successful people, their stories are not recorded. And the second thing is that they could be role models and beacons for others worldwide, not just in Egypt. I had a focus also of the youth, the Coptic youth abroad. That was one of the reasons of writing the book. Okay. As I said, because of the gender diversity course that I took, I had 5 men and 5 women to encourage young girls and women to become leaders. I had diverse age groups. I didn't want to choose them from the same, age group. Diverse professions. So I didn't choose all doctors or all priests and so on. Varied degrees of publicity. They are all famous, but with a varied degrees. And I had to ensure rapport and trust between me and the leaders whom I interviewed. Why? Because I asked them 35 questions, which was very hectic. The 50 books helped me to formulate the questions. I asked 25 same questions to all the leaders. Now, this is a sample of the 21 questions. I'm not saying them all. It's like their mission, their values, their role models, their impact on their Coptic faith, on their success, how they define leadership, the challenges they met, the lessons they learned, their daily schedules, their future projects, and what impact they wanted to leave on the world. Okay? And then there was 4 Egypt-related questions, because I'm interviewing Egyptians. I asked them about 4 issues that I, from my point of view, I think are very important. One of them, how we can reduce women violence in an innovative way. Second thing is how we can motivate the youth in Egypt, especially in marginalized groups or economies. Number 3 is how can the Egyptian government promote the youth and provide them with venues whereby they can, excel. And the final question was a very interesting one, was if we wanted Egypt to become a developed country, how long would it take? Would it take 10 years or 20 years or 30 years? Okay? And what 3 tips they would advise the government to do so that Egypt becomes a developed country. Okay? Then there was 10 specific questions related to each leader according to his profession. So a doctor would be asked about his profession, a marketing person about his profession, Abuna about his profession. So it varied and depended on my interaction with them. And some of them I knew, of those leaders earlier, so I could know their experiences briefly, but I went into depth into it. The interviews were through direct meetings, phone calls, emails. Usually it took 10 hours on average for each one. On average, 2 months to finish the first 6 leaders, because I was a bit relaxed and they were a bit relaxed. During the last 4 leaders, I was more focused, more determined, so I finished within 2 weeks. At the end of each chapter, after I made the interviews, I summed up 5 key lessons that could be learned from this leader, and I wrote the book in 1.5 years. The book, the first chapter is why writing about leadership, why another book about leadership, and then I have 10 chapters. Each chapter is named according to the most trait I believe led to the success, from my point of view, to the success of this leader. So I don't call the chapters by the names like Professor Rashad Barsoom or Dr. Mona Zaki, no. I call them the innovative leader, the risk-taking leader, the persistent leader, and so on. And I will discuss briefly each leader. Okay, the first one, from my point of view, is Professor Rashad Barsoom, and I focus because he is an innovative leader. He's the chairman of Cairo Kidney Center. He is an emeritus professor of internal medicine in Cairo University. He has a pioneering school of thought that he brought in, which is being ethical and using evidence-based medicine, followed, which is this school of thought. He not only followed himself, but this is followed by all his students that are now either in Egypt or in U.S. or in Australia or in U.K. and so on. Second thing is, which is very notable in Professor Barsoom, is that he's thinking outside of the box, which we keep on saying for Egypt's issues, is that even he studied electronics besides medicine and besides nephrology. And sometimes when he faces obstacles during an issue with the kidney, he would think outside of the box using electronics. One of the things he got a prize for was he designed four generations of central dialysis delivery systems that are implemented in three dialysis centers. So he's not just an excellent and pioneer doctor, but he's focused in another field. And he earned a lot of prestigious, awards locally and internationally. And one of the most famous doctors, and I've been told by one of the doctors in the book, that if he lived abroad, he would have had much more fame than that. The second one is the bold leader. Bold means courageous or brave. Dr. Georgette Collini. She is currently vice chairman in the Administrative Prosecutor Authority, and she was a former member of parliament for 10 years. She addressed very thorny and difficult issues during her time in parliament. She always spoke the truth and never feared threats. She defended people's rights, especially vulnerable groups, especially in two most important incidents, Esalam sinking ship, which we know, and the Naga Hammadi incidents. She was also a previous member of the National Council of Women, National Council for Human Rights, and the only woman that was represented in the nominating committee formed to elect the Coptic Pope. The third leader is Dr. Gaudat Gabrat. He is a visiting professor of Coptic Studies in Claremont University and co-editor-in-chief of Claremont Coptic Encyclopedia. The Coptic Encyclopedia was bought by Claremont University. And he was formerly the director of the Coptic Museum. He was the first Egyptian to earn PhD in Coptology from Germany in 1984. And despite studying at public schools, managed to succeed to learn three languages, English and French and German. And despite lack of funding, he was very active in research, and he wrote 14 landmark books focusing on Coptic Egypt. The communicator leader, Dr. Mona Zaki, she is a CEO of two companies, one in Egypt and one in Hungary. One is Global Strategic Consultants, the other is Art and Business International Company. She's a marketing person. One of her key traits is excellent communicator. Because of her communication skills, I believe she is one of the few Egyptian women outside the diplomatic career who succeeded in earning the trust of ambassadors, whether US, French, UK, here in Egypt, for the past 25 years. Plus this, she earned a PhD in 6 years despite having a hectic public relations career, assisting her husband, who is a notable artist and painter, in paintings and exhibitions in Egypt and abroad, and taking care of her two children. And she received also two Grand Cross of Honor from Austria and Knight Cross of Merit from Hungary. So acclaimed internationally. The visionary leader, Father Dawood Lamai, You all know him. He is well known for his Bible sermon studies, followed by millions of cops worldwide. And I focused, I think, for me personally, Abuna Dawood is visionary because of two things. His community development in the 29 governorates in Egypt, which is an issue that should have been tackled by the Egyptian government eras ago, which still is not tackled. Second thing is re-engaging in a very interesting thing, which is evangelism, which you partially do as a group, which I commend you a lot for doing that, and on larger scale, 29 countries in Africa and Asia. The next leader, the passionate leader, is Marie Bishara, which known here is Marie Louis, which is a fashion designer, and she is vice chairman of BTM and the first fashion designer in Egypt and in the Middle East to be selected to attend the formal official fashion week in Paris 2007. That's a big thing, and they don't invite anybody except if their work reaches a certain standard. She managed to build a very strong name, which is Marie Bishara, not only in Egypt but in UK and Germany. The lovely thing which I loved when I didn't know her before is the passion. And the passion of Marie, not just for fashion, but this is one area, but the passion of reviving Egypt's leading role, how Egypt can, the Egyptian cotton become, regain its glamour again like it used to happen in the 40s. How young Egyptian designers could be promoted. And finally, she has philanthropic activities. They have a foundation, the Egyptian Foundation, that helps children at risk have better futures. The following leader is the risk-taking leader, whom I know personally, I worked with personally, is Maggie Chaui, the chairman. He was chairman of the Stock Exchange. Now he's the managing director of Belton Financial. He's an investment banker. He succeeded in changing jobs from government to the stock exchange and then the private sector. In a very short period, was successful in the three jobs. And he managed, people were doubtful because he worked in the government and the stock exchange. When he went to the private sector, they said he would fail, he wouldn't succeed. He turned the bank into from loss to profit in 1 year. He was the youngest chairman of the Egyptian exchange. And he loves the risks and meeting the risks and successing despite the risks, the same as he does with horseback riding. The following leader is the challenger leader, which is Reem Assad. She's the CEO of Raya Data Center now, and in the executive management of Raya Holding. She was studying here at the AUC, and then when she went to visit the U.S., she went to a university of Houston, and somebody convinced her to change and study there in the U.S. instead of Egypt, because when she was studying in the AUC, there wasn't a double major, business and IT. So she wanted to go. Her father gave her a challenge. He was very hesitant. He didn't want her to go. He said, okay, I won't allow you to go unless you have an annual scholarship each year for your studies, just to put her an obstacle for her. So she managed to get two, each year, succeeded there, worked in the IT sector for 17 years, and then decided to come back to Egypt. Met several obstacles when she came back because of the cultural shock and difference of work practices, but managed to become the only Christian woman CEO, which is difficult because in the IT sector there are not a lot of women actually. In the plus, she focuses also on corporate social responsibility and education. She's doing a lot with the company regarding education for in poor governorates and poor areas. The disciplined leader is Karim Sami Saad, who is the chairman of SamCrete and managing director of Sami Saad Holding. Karim is very shy. I know him from church, and it wasn't easy for him to accept. I pushed him to be part of the book. But what I like about him and I wanted to present is his discipline. Karim is really very disciplined, to the extent of what words he should say in meetings. shouldn't say anything. He told me I could remain in a meeting for 2 or 3 hours. I wouldn't talk except 5 minutes in a topic I only understand. And he has 40 CEOs reporting to him. They have a lot of businesses. The interesting thing about him, which is not known, is that he mentors and empowers. He does what I have studied actually in the Lead Without a Title leadership book of Robin Sharma, is how you, as a good leader, it's not to get profits in a company or make the company successful or better revenues. It's how you lead people and you make people become leaders themselves. That would make the company or the business or the service sustainable. Because after you leave, it will continue. So he mentors and empowers senior executives, including women. And he is working on converting the family business to become a multinational sustainable company. He's involved, of course, in church services, in creating, establishing quality school for mentally disabled in San Damiana Church, as well as other things. The fighter leader, the last but not least, is Mira Nassif, whom I was introduced to by a friend. I wanted in the end, really, because I was addressing the youth, so I wanted to have a youth represented in the book. Actually, it should have been more, but I mean, at least one was represented. She's 28 years old. She's a former African judo champion. She's also started her business, which is called Miracle Design, which is having calligraphy on jewels, having a Christian first Christian jewel design in Egypt to mix traditional Arabic calligraphy with Christian verses. The good thing about Mira is that when she started her judo career, she got a problem in one of her eyes during fighting, and she had to undergo 13 operations. So this didn't stop her life. She continued in the business. Now she's studying her MBA in the US. She wants to come back and have a miracle center, a new business. So she never gives up in studying, career, business, and so on. The 10 steps quickly to success from my viewpoint are the following, which is fulfilled in those 10 leaders. They have faith and a strong belief in God. All of them believed in a loving, almighty, wise God, and that they are unique and endowed with special gifts, which help them survive challenges and always aim for success. Very important thing, every one of them had a mission. And it doesn't matter if the mission is small or grand, as I say, but you have to have a mission and purpose in life and goals. And it doesn't mean making money or having a nice career. No. The mission, you become to the extent obsessed with it. So a mission, for example, of Mira, the youngest, which I was saying, she said, okay, my mission is to empower women, not only in Egypt, but the Middle East, to recognize their that they are powerful enough and they can do things. So it's not for my business to succeed. She has a bigger or a grand mission that she's working on. Other missions, somebody says, I want to create value for any part of work I do. So my mission is to create value, whether to my family, to my business, whatever. Know the one characteristic that drives your success and focus on it. As I named each title, innovative, challenging, risk-taking, so each one had really a specific characteristic that was highlighted. And they made use of it. And they had focused on it. And this helped them to excel in their career, I think, or in their profession. Always stick to your core values. Whenever I ask them, what are your core values? So there are core values that are personally binding to them, like clothes are binding to anyone. So they had integrity, justice, honesty, love, forgiveness, that they said, this is our core value that we live with. Always look for role models whose lives you would like to imitate. When I asked all of them, they had either their father or their mother or both as role models that impacted them. So for you to be successful, you have to have a role model. If unfortunately your father or mother are not good role models, you can have, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ or the saints or international famous people. So there will always be role models that you have to look and aspire to become like. Always keep learning and growing. All of them are active in learning. So they are not happy with their success or achievement and then that's it, final. They have to be active in learning. They benefit from their challenges and hardship. This was a difficult question really in the book when I asked them about what are the two mistakes that you have made and what did you learn from it? Because sometimes, and I'm really thankful for them that they were honest enough and they said what are they didn't shy and how this have helped them to improve. So we all have mistakes. No human being, two things, sorry, the mistakes and the challenges. We all have mistakes. This is natural and normal. We have to learn from the mistakes and move forward. As for the challenges, we all face challenges. Either a difficult husband, trauma, you fail an exam, you lose your money. So all of us has to pass through challenges. The good thing is how you benefit from them and grow and become more resilient. And then live a balanced life and have a daily schedule. A problem that faces most of people really, and this was something that I learned in the course in Canada, is you must have a daily schedule and abide to it. We can easily become distracted. And they said that the people now are easily distracted, that they get attached to their mobiles and so on, or whatever social media, whatever mobile you use, every 24 minutes. You check or do something. So you have to stick to a schedule to make sure that you don't get distracted and you have certain goals that you want to achieve those goals during the day. Final thing is you have to have a balance in your life. It's not just purely academic or purely professional, or you have to have a balance between family, profession, spiritual, social, artistic. To be fulfilled, your life must not only be successful, but have an impact. I think this is the most important thing or lesson I would say. Because most of us, if you achieve something, yes, you would be happy and fulfilled and so on. But the inner and spiritual aspirations are these things that matter. And what matters at the end of your life, and that's why I was saying even in the Robin Sharma course, he was saying, okay, you are a businessman, this is the market share of your company, you are the most wealthy man and so on. But on your deathbed, you must think, what impact would you leave on the world? So, you love people, you serve people, you love your country, you serve your country, the community, family and so on. So it's not just your material successes. Final thing, concluding remark, that's what I started in my preface when I wrote the book. I said, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Really, I'm not being modest, but I never dreamt of doing such step or writing a book, and I'm thankful to God, Saint Mary, and my favorite saint, Saint Bishoy, because they helped me to achieve this. I'm thankful to family and some friends who have known this. I'm thankful to my editor and my publisher, because my publisher is a foreign publisher. I've published the book abroad, not in Egypt. And I'm thankful to those 10 iconic Coptic leaders, because they have helped me, or the book wouldn't have been there. I thank them for their trust, their patience, their time, and everything. The second thing is writing the book personally helped me very much on a good cause during my grief period. This was very a life savior for me. Second thing, writing the book was an inspiring journey for me, not the inspiring journeys of those who were successful. It's interacting and learning face to face from those leaders. It's choosing and interacting with a publisher and with an editor. I've never been into editing or writing a book, so I had to learn how to choose an editor, how to choose a foreign publisher, how to learn what the publishers need, work with the publisher on the layout, design, title, look, size of book, etc. And finally, I'm promoting the book among different constituents. Focus mainly abroad for the youth, but also for here, the youth who can speak English. And I started with universities in the UK, US, Australia, as well as churches there. And surprisingly and nicely, with my professionals in the capital markets, stock exchanges, bankers. And I'm very happy when they read the book, especially those whom I know abroad, not in Egypt. So it's very satisfying, really. Thank you very much. And I would be happy if you can spread word about the book. Thanks.